To be satisfied with the present moment is to relish and adore the divine will moving through all we have to do and suffer as events crowd in upon us. If we are like this, the liveliness of our faith will compel us to adore God no matter how humiliating the circumstances in which He places us. There is nothing which can conceal Him from the penetrating gaze of our faith. If our senses insist there is no God, the more closely and firmly do we clasp to us our bunch of myrrh. We are neither astonished nor disgusted by anything. Mary sees the apostles flee, but she herself remains faithfully at the foot of the cross. Torn by wounds and disfigured with spittle though he was, she knew him as her son. Indeed, his bleeding, battered body increased her love and adoration of him. The more viciously he was blasphemed, the more she venerated him. The life of faith is the untiring pursuit of God through all that disguises and disfigures him, and as it were destroys and annihilates him. Look at Mary. From the stable to Calvary, she stayed close to that God who was despised, rejected, and persecuted. So it is with all faithful souls. They have to pass through a steady succession of veils and shadows and illusions which seek to hide the will of God, but they follow and love it even to the death on the cross. They know that they must leave the shadows and run after this divine sun, which from its rising to its setting, and no matter how thick and dark the clouds hiding it, illumines, warms, and sets aglow the loyal hearts who bless, praise, and contemplate it as it sweeps along its mysterious course. Let us, then, as faithful souls, happy and tireless, advance after the Beloved as he moves with giant strides across the heavens. He sees all things. He walks above the smallest blades of grass and the cedar groves, and treads the grains of sand as well as the mountain peaks. Wherever we have trodden, he has been. And if we constantly pursue him, we shall find him, no matter where we are. There is no peace more wonderful than the peace we enjoy when faith shows us God in all created things. All that is dark becomes light, and what is bitter, sweet. Faith transforms ugliness into beauty and malice into kindness. Faith is the mother of tenderness, trust, and joy. It cannot feel anything but love and pity for its enemies, by whom it is so greatly enriched. For the more harsh the actions of creatures against us, the more beneficial God makes them for our souls. The human instrument tries to injure us, but the divine craftsman in whose hands it is ensures that it takes from our souls all that would harm them. The will of God has only delights, favors, and riches for all souls who are obedient to it. We cannot trust it too much or abandon ourselves to it too completely. If we leave everything to God, he will do all that is necessary for our holiness. Faith cannot doubt this. The more unreliable, disgusted, despairing, and unsure of themselves our senses are, the more emphatically does faith exclaim, God is here. All goes well. There is nothing that faith cannot overcome. It pierces through the darkest shadows and the thickest clouds to reach the truth, embraces it, and can never be torn from it. 3. Every moment is crammed with infinite riches, which are given us according to the extent of our faith and love. Once we can grasp that each moment contains some sign of the will of God, we shall find in it all we can possibly desire. For there is nothing more reasonable, more excellent, more holy than His will. Can any variations of time, place, or circumstance add anything to its infinite value? If you are taught the secret of finding its presence in every moment of your lives, then you possess all that is most precious and supremely worthwhile. What is it that you want, those of you seeking perfection? Give your desires free rein, setting absolutely no limits, no boundaries to them. Listen to me. Let your hearts demand the infinite, for I can tell you how to fill them. There is never one moment in which I cannot show you how to find whatever you can desire. The present moment is always overflowing with immeasurable riches, far more than you are able to hold. Your faith will measure it out to you. As you believe, so you will receive. Love, too, is also a measure. The more you love, the more you will want, and the more you will get. Every moment, the will of God is stretched out before us like a vast ocean, which the desires of our hearts can never empty, but more and more of it will be ours as our souls grow in faith, in trust, and in love. The entire universe cannot fill and satisfy our hearts, for they are greater than all apart from God. Mountains, which overawe us, are but tiny grains to our hearts. We must draw upon that will veiled and hidden beneath every little detail of our lives, and shall find there a fullness, an amplitude infinitely more vast than all our longings. Fawn upon no one and have no illusions. They can do nothing for us. The will of God alone can satisfy us. That is what we must adore and drive direct toward it, casting aside all superficialities. Strip away the fascination of the senses, kill and destroy them, and then you will be ruled by faith, for your senses worship created things. Take away from the senses what they worship, and they will weep like deserted children, but faith must triumph, for nothing can destroy the will of God. When the senses are really attacked, starved, and stripped, they collapse, and faith becomes stronger and more alive than ever. This faith laughs at the importance of the senses, as the commander of an impregnable citadel laughs at all attacks launched against it. When the will of God has been made known to us, and we in turn make it plain that we are only too glad to abandon ourselves to it, we shall be given most powerful help. We shall then know the joy of God's arrival within us, and savor it more intensely the more completely we abandon ourselves to His adorable will. 4. God reveals Himself to us through the most commonplace happenings in a way just as mysterious and just as truly and as worthy of adoration as in the great occurrences of history and the Scriptures. The written word of God is full of mysteries, and equally so is His word expressed in world events. These two books are truly sealed, and it can be said of both of them, "The letters bring death." 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. God is the center of faith, and faith is a gulf of shadows, and these shadows emerge and veil all the divine operations. All His words and all His works are only, as it were, murky rays from a clouded sun. With our bodily eyes, we can see the natural sun and its beams, but the eyes of our soul by which we want to see God and His works remain shut. There is darkness instead of light. Knowledge is ignorance, and we see without understanding. Holy Scripture is the mysterious utterance of a still more mysterious God. And the events of history are the incomprehensible words of this same hidden and unknown God. They are dark drops from an ocean of darkness and shadows. Every drop of water and every little stream carry traces of their source. The fall of the angels and of Adam, the ungodliness and idolatry of men up to and after the flood in the lifetime of the patriarchs, who knew and told their children the story of the creation and of the still recent preservation of the world from the flood, these are indeed some of the most mysterious accounts in Holy Scripture. Then we have a mere handful of men kept safe from idolatry until the coming of the Messiah, in spite of the general loss of faith throughout the world, with iniquity always dominant, always powerful, and the little band of believers always ill-used and persecuted think of the treatment of Jesus Christ. And the plagues of the apocalypse, imagine it. These are God's words. It is what He has revealed. The consequences of these terrible mysteries will continue to the end of time, and yet they are still the living Word, teaching us of the wisdom, the power, and the goodness of God. These divine attributes are made manifest by all the events of history. All things teach this truth. But alas, we cannot see it, though we must believe it is so. Why does God allow Turks and heretics to flourish? They proclaim His infinite perfection. That is the sole purpose of Pharaoh and all the impious men who have followed his example. It is no use looking at these historical facts and figures in the ordinary way. We must shut our eyes and cease to reason if we wish to see the divine mysteries in these affairs. You speak, Lord, to all men in general by the great events of history. All revolutions are only the waves of your providence, raising storms and tempests in the minds of those who question your mysterious actions. You speak to every individual through what happens to them, moment by moment. Instead of hearing the voice of God in all these things and revering the mysterious obscurity of His word, however, men see in them only material happenings, the effects of chance or purely human activities. They find fault with everything, want to change this continual expression of God's word, and give themselves absolute freedom to commit every kind of excess, the very least of which they would consider a monstrous outrage if it involved a single comma in Holy Scripture. That is the word of God, they say, and all that is there is holy and true. The less they understand it, the more they venerate it and adore the depths of God's wisdom. Very right and proper, too. But when God speaks to us at every moment, not with words of ink on paper, but by what we suffer and do from moment to moment, should we not give equal attention to Him? Why do we not venerate His truth and goodness in all this? But we are pleased by nothing and critical of everything. For we are judging by our senses and our reason that which can only be measured by faith. We read, with the eyes of faith, the Word of God in the Scriptures, and we are very wrong to read it with other eyes when it comes to us in His activities. 5. God continues to write His Word in our hearts, but the characters will not be seen until the day of judgment. Jesus Christ is the same today as He was yesterday, and as He will be forever, says the Apostle Paul, Hebrews 13, verse 8. From the creation of the world, Jesus Christ has lived in every human soul, and He works within us throughout our lives. All the years, from the beginning of the world until its end, are but as a day. Jesus lived before its creation, and He lives still. He began in Himself and continues in His saints a life that will never end. O life of Jesus, which embraces and transcends all eras! A life which generates fresh activities every moment. If the whole world could not hold all that Jesus said and did, John 21, verse 25, and all the workings of His interior life, if the Gospels give only a slight sketch of a few little details, if the first hour of His earthly life is so little known and yet so fruitful, how many Gospels would need to be written to tell the detailed story of that mystical life of Jesus Christ, which spreads and develops marvels without end? For, strictly speaking, the whole of history is nothing but the story of God's activity. With absolute truth, the Holy Spirit has recorded a few of the moments in this vast stretch of time. In the Scriptures, He has collected a few drops from this ocean of time and enabled us to see the hidden and unknown ways by which He brought about the appearance of Jesus Christ in the world. Amidst all the confusion among the tribes of humanity, we can trace the origin, the race, and the family tree of this firstborn child. The whole of the Old Testament is only a small diagram showing innumerable and mysterious tracks, and contains nothing but what is necessary to lead us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit has kept everything else hidden among the richness of His wisdom. From all the vast ocean of His activity, He allows only a trickle of water to escape, which, after reaching Jesus, is lost in the apostles and engulfed in the apocalypse. Thus, the rest of the story of the activity of Jesus in the souls of good people until the end of time can be known only by faith. We are now living in a time of faith. The Holy Spirit writes no more gospels except in our hearts. All we do from moment to moment is live this new gospel of the Holy Spirit. We, if we are holy, are the paper. Our sufferings and our actions are the ink. The workings of the Holy Spirit are His pen, and with it He writes a living gospel. But it will never be read until that last day of glory when it leaves the printing press of this life. And what a splendid book it will be, the book the Holy Spirit is still writing. The book is on press, and never a day passes when type is not set, ink applied, and pages pulled. But we remain in the light of faith. The paper is blacker than the ink, and the type is pied. The language is not of this world, and we understand nothing. We shall be able to read it only in heaven. We could understand something of the complexity of God's activity if we could see our fellow humans not just as they appear superficially, but in their very essence, and see, too, how God is working on them and within them. Yet there are difficulties. How can we read this book when its letters are unknown, of infinite variety, and upside down, and its pages smeared with ink? Just think what an infinite number of different and worthwhile books are produced by mixing up of 26 letters. We cannot understand this wonder, so how can we comprehend what God is doing in the universe? How can we read and understand so vast a book, one in which every single letter has its own special meaning, and within its tiny shape contains the most profound mysteries? We can neither see nor feel these mysteries. Only by faith can they be known.